Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, truthfully, in Texas, we do have to pay a lot of attention to foundations because the soil is always moving. We're putting money into building foundations because you can't have a solid building without them. We put money into repairing foundations. We water our foundations in order to help keep the foundations healthy.
Oh, that's interesting. Here, all we have to do is make sure that our foundations can move, you know, because
of the earthquakes here
in
California.
Yeah, so here, the high buildings have this foundations that move like on wheels type of thing.
Yeah. Know? Well, truthfully, Jesus talked about foundations as well, and especially the foundation of the church, did he not?
Yes, and I think this is a very important topic. And before we start, you know, today we're going to talk about church. Matthew is the only one that actually mentions the word church.
That's right.
And we're going to see in what context he does that. But I really want to reach out to all those people out there that have been hurt by the church. I mean, do you know people like that?
Oh, I know a lot of people like that. In fact, one of the ministries of my church is to help reach out to people who have been injured by church and to try to help them heal from that and hopefully create a community where they will be safe in a church.
Yeah, you know, I have stood up in some congregations and openly made apologies in the name of the church as an official pastor. For all the times that somebody was left out of the church because they were wearing tennis shoes or some kind of green hair or something, and they were not allowed in
the
church. And
that's right.
I have tears in my eyes when I realize that churches actually can hurt people.
It has been said that the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded.
Mm.
And there are times when we have been indeed guilty of that. There are other times when the Christian army, the Christian church, takes very good care of its wounded. But if you have been one of those who have been hurt by the church when you were wounded, then you understand the pain that comes from that experience.
It's a terrible pain. And that's why it's important to understand the topic today, because today we're actually given what is the foundation of the church. Even though the church is made of people, what is the foundation? Now, this comes in a very interesting section of Matthew. We are in chapter 16. And Jesus starts asking the disciples, so who do people say that I am? And this is verse 13 of chapter 16. You want to read it?
Yeah. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Verse 14, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am?
And, you know, Simon Peter always used to talk a lot. You know, he had a big mouth. You know, just like Mike.
Thanks a lot. It takes one to know one, dear.
That's true. You know, I really identify with Simon Peter so much because he's always putting his foot in his mouth, you know?
He's talking a lot. That is me then.
No, but see, here he actually gets a revelation from God directly. And he says, Simon Peter answered, verse 16, you are the Christ. Christ is in Greek the same word as Messiah is in Hebrew, which actually means the anointed one,
the one
that we've been waiting for.
It's a title rather than a part of his name. His name was not Jesus Christ, but he's Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one.
That's right. And then next to it, he explains what he just meant, the Son of the living God.
That's right.
So Peter says, you're it. We know who you are.
Yeah.
And so Jesus says, wow, you got it. And why don't you read verse 17?
Verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven.
And so here's where we get into a little problem. A lot of people think that the next statement decides who is the foundation of the church.
Yeah. The head of the church, the foundation of the church. And in verse 18, it says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
So a lot of people say, see, here's where it says that Peter is the foundation of the church. But in fact, you know, the Greek words on this give us a little bit of insight.
Yeah. Peter is Petros, right?
Yeah, Peter is Petros, which means detached stone.
Yeah, like a little rock you can pick up and throw.
That's right. It's nothing that is too important. It's a little,
that's right.
So Jesus is actually playing with words. He says, you are this little rock, but, he says, Go ahead.
Upon this Petra, upon this rock, and that is the foundation stone. That is more than a boulder even.
Yeah, and it's going back to the statement that Peter has made, upon the rock of the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the
That's
living
right.
God. So upon this rock, I am the rock, I'm the cornerstone.
That's
upon
right.
this rock that you just talked about,
mm-hmm.
I am going to build
to
my
build
church.
Build my church, and Jesus is the Petra, the foundation stone.
That's right, and so here we have a statement about a rock that actually comes from the Psalms. You know, there is a section of the Psalms that is called the Hallel, which,
mm-hmm.
As you guys know, every time they took the Passover, they used to sing a song.
That's right.
And these were the songs that they sang. We think that they were mainly Psalm 111 to 116, even though
mm-hmm.
some people give a conclusion to Psalm 17, which is the
right.
shortest one we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then Psalm 118 comes after that, which is this exuberant Thanksgiving song. And many of you, perhaps in church, have done this, where everybody repeats. Like, let's do two or three verses from the beginning, Mike.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And then I would answer, his loving kindness is everlasting.
Let Israel say,
his loving kindness is everlasting.
Let the house of Aaron say,
his loving kindness is everlasting. I think by now you got it.
Yeah, that's
because
right. It's an antiphonal reading.
That's right.
Back
so the congregation answers, and this is exuberant, flamboyant Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Now, it is in this particular psalm that we find this text explaining the cornerstone,
this
type of stone that is not a Petros, but a Petra, like a bedrock.
That's right, and that's found in verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, or in some translations, the cornerstone, the basis of the building.
Yes, and it would be wonderful if you want to read the whole psalm to get the whole context
mm-hmm.
about this, but it's talking about a stone, and many people think this is a tradition that comes from some of the buildings of the temple.
That's
and
right.
some of the other people think it's something else, but
yeah.
that you know, they there was this rock that nobody knew where it fit.
That's right.
And they left it on the side,
mm-hmm.
and they started to build, and then in the very foundation there was this spot missing, and
That's
then they
right.
realized it was the exact shape
mm-hmm.
of the one rock that they had left on the side that the builders had rejected because they didn't know where it fit.
The one the builders had rejected became the foundation, and certainly that fit for Jesus' life. In his day, the vast majority of people rejected him. The religious leaders rejected him, but all of a sudden he becomes the foundation of the church. He becomes the Petra in the New Testament Greek of the church.
That's right. So going back to Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is saying, look, Peter, on your statement, the one you just made, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, on that bedrock, on that cornerstone, I am going to build my church. Now, this is the word church. And, you know, we have three Gospels that look a lot alike. They are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we call them the synoptic Gospels.
That's right.
Think of it as same optic,
yeah.
same view.
That's
okay,
right.
They're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But of the synoptic Gospels, only Matthew actually introduces
this idea of the church.
Yes, and the ecclesia, or ecclesian in this
mm-hmm.
case. The ecclesia, in Spanish, we have iglesia.
Iglesia, yeah.
It sounds exactly like
mm-hmm.
the Greek ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the English people came up with church out of that.
Well, you know, we're a little bit strange. But
yes, you are, especially those from Texas.
Yeah.
But actually, what we have here
is... You just
is,
never stop.
No, I don't. But actually, here we have the word church for the first time. And Matthew only uses the word, as I said, of the three synoptic gospels. He's the only one that uses it.
He uses
it in two different settings.
He uses it here, but also in that the section where people usually look at this is the discipline section, but it's not really discipline in Matthew chapter 18.
Yes, it's actually the redeeming chapter,
that's
how we
is.
Are to redeem people in the community. And we will talk about that in our next program.
That's right.
So here we have in verse 17 of chapter 18, again, the church.
That's
that
right.
If somebody has left, bring it to the community. And the community here is again called church.
The church.
So we always have this word, ecclesia. This is the word in Greek that refers to what now we call the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this Old Testament people of Israel, nation of Israel, kingdom
mm-hmm.
of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and now we have this passage to this new people that are made of two groups, the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles.
That's right.
Now, everybody's part of the church now.
That's right. We've broken down barriers again. The walls are coming down. There is no separation. In fact, now we are one people united by the blood of Jesus. We share a common blood system. The blood that flows through your veins and my veins is the same because it is the blood of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the foundation of our church.
Yeah. And you know, we know that Matthew was in having some kind of problems with the Jewish leaders. We don't know if Matthew's community was still within Judaism, or if they were on their way out, or if they were out of Judaism. But we know they had some problems with the leaders because of the some of the other pronouns that he uses when he says their synagogues, like not mine, but
theirs.
That's right. But we know one of the problems was about this: how inclusive is the church?
That's right.
Everybody is included in this new people of God.
That's right. God does not know any race, and he doesn't know gender. He knows only one thing, that people need him, and he loves them, and he is inclusive.
That's right. And so the foundation of the church is not a person, is not even a set of doctrines, or a particular denomination for that matter.
No, it's not.
It's the foundation of the church is
Jesus Christ.
And this will heal your wounds. You know, if the church has hurt you in any way, go back to this foundation, especially when the earth is shaking, like
that's
here
right,
in California.
You cling to the foundation then.
Yes, don't forget that no matter how bad it's shaking, and even if it's shaking in your church,
that's right.
The foundation of the ecclesia is Jesus.
And look to him, not to the people in the church, but look to that foundation, because he is the one who heals you, and he is the one who includes you. He is the one who loves you and will make you his.
He is the cornerstone.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.